Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. And hello to everyone who's listening.
Yeah, guys. So today I have with me for another Woman Crush Wednesday interview. This is Nancy Asia, and she owns an online boutique. It's called Heiress Blank, and the website's really easy. It's just heirissblank.com. So they carry clothing, accessories, handbags. They have a blog on the site as well, and they have a lot of cool things coming up too. So I wanted to bring her on and interview her, ask her all about fashion and the clothing and boutique industry and owning her own business. So welcome, Nancy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so why don't we get started? Actually, you guys, real quick backstory. We know each other from a dance team back when I was in high school. So we've known each other for a while, but anyway, tell us how you kind of like got into the fashion industry and maybe if you had any experience before this and then what kind of made you switch and want to open your own boutique.
Yeah, it's pretty much a very interesting story, actually. I had this idea for about 10 to 12 years.
Wow.
And I'm the person who everyone asks to go shopping with. They love when I pick out their clothes. I love to combine colors. I love fabrics. I love everything about fashion. I've always looked at fashion magazines, but I never worked in the fashion industry. I was working at a wholesale fuel distribution company that was selling ExxonMobil fuel. For about 6 years, I was basically running their financial department. And it was such a mentally exhausting job and something I never imagined I'd do forever. But I was so comfortable with having the security of a job and an income, I never moved on from it. This job taught me everything, though. It taught me how to start my own business. It taught me every nook and cranny about business in general. So it really helped me with starting my website. I was so miserable at this job the last year. I became so miserable that I didn't even want to go to sleep at night because I was like, oh, tomorrow I have to wake up and go back to work again.
Oh, no.
So one day I finally had the opportunity and I just quit right then and there. I didn't anticipate at the time when I was so fired up about quitting how hard it was going to be to find a job. So I was on the job hunt for about a year and a half, and I couldn't find anything. I was finding jobs, but I wasn't finding a job where I wanted to excel in, move forward in, something in an industry I was interested in. My degree is in marketing, so I wanted a creative job. I wanted something in the marketing industry, and living in Tampa, that is so hard to find. I was finding jobs that were so similar to my other job in anything, basically accounting or finance, but that was what my experience was in. And you can't get a job in so many industries unless you have the experience. So I didn't really
Right.
have marketing experience. So one night, this is the moment I had my complete meltdown and breakthrough all in the same night. So I get this email from a lady I had a phone interview with, and we had such a great rapport. And she was telling me, she was like, why would you even want this job? It is about 10 steps back for you. And to be honest, I did not want that job at all. I wanted to work within that company. Well, I didn't want to work there, but everyone was telling me, it's such a great company, just get any job there and move forward from there. So I was like, okay, whatever. I was desperate. So I just picked any job that they had, and I get an email from her, and she's like, you're too overqualified for this position. Sorry, we went a different way. So I was getting turned away from jobs because I was too overqualified for them, and I was getting
yeah.
turned away from jobs because I had no experience in marketing. So I had a meltdown. I started crying, and I'm like, why am I crying for a job I didn't even want to begin with? But I was so stressed over looking for a job, it was just like all came out at one time. So I just started praying, and I was just asking God, God, help me, like, help me. I'm so tired of this. And then in that instant, it was like every idea was flooding through my head, and it was like a light bulb went off and was like, why are you looking for a job? Create one for yourself. So at that moment, all the stress of looking for a job was lifted off my shoulders, and a brand new stress came. The stress of the unknown instantly came on my shoulders. And I gave myself a deadline. I was like, in 2 weeks, you need to get your research done. You need to come up with a name. You need to come up with a logo. You need to have a solid business plan. And I don't care if you have to work 24/7, it needs to be done. And I did it. And from that moment on, Eric Blank was born.
Wow, that's so inspiring.
Oh, thank you. It was like it was a rough year and a half looking for a job. I never in a million years thought it would be that difficult.
I guess that's kind of the way that really the world is going, is more toward like people start creating the job they want instead of, you know, trying to find it, because unfortunately you can't really find what you want as easily these days.
Exactly. I mean, I was going and things that were such a sure thing were closing in my face. Like, doors were opening and closing instantly. So I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I need to do something for myself. I need to make my own future. I can't rely on someone to give me a job. I'm going to make one.
That's a great attitude.
It took me a lot of tears to figure that one out.
Yeah. Well, but now it's all for the good.
Yes.
So how did you actually come up with the name?
So also out of frustration, two of my friends, they were such a big help. I was bouncing ideas off of them so much, and they were so into it because they're like, exactly, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This job is made for you. This is such a great idea. So they were so into it. So one night, we're like, okay, let's go out and get some drinks. And over drinks, we were like, you know what? We need to come up with a name. So I wanted something to kind of represent the image before people know me as a person, they see. So people automatically assume that, oh, she thinks because she's so, like, fixed up all the time, that she has this, like, narcissistic attitude. But when they tell me, they're like, oh, my God, you're nothing what we expected. So I wanted the image of my girl, the heiress blank, to be this girl who's so well put together, is so trendy, and, you know, has this, like, split personality but on an affordable budget. So I was looking up, we couldn't figure out a name. We came up with the narcissist, and we're like, oh, my God, there's a makeup brand called the narcissist. We couldn't figure it out. 2 hours, we're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then one day I pull up on my computer. Actually, it was that night. I pull up on my computer words that describe women, and it was like endless amount of words. I was so frustrated. I'm like, I'm never going to come up with a name. And, like, every good idea comes when you're, like, about to give up. So I'm like, I'm never going to come up with a name. So the first word I see on the screen is heiress. And I'm like, I'm just going to call it heiress, blank or whatever. And so they could just fill in their own name or whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's smart. So I'm like, okay, heiress blank. And when we were choosing names, my friend's like, why don't you add a bracket around the name? But we couldn't figure out, like, a name to put within the bracket. So when heiress blank came, I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll make the blank look like an application form.
Right.
So it's unfinished. So you fill in your name, like, for instance, heiress Nicole.
Yeah.
So it's customized for the girl who's shopping.
Yeah. I thought it was so cute when I saw that.
Thank you. And also, after I was done creating the logo and the name, I teched the logo to women in different age groups. I did some college students, some high school students, my friends my age, you know, just like my cousins and my friends. And I just text them all the logo. And I'm like, what do you think this is? What do you think it means? And it's funny the feedback you get. My cousin who's in college was like, I don't really understand it, but a logo looks like it's sweet and unfinished. I was like, perfect. That's exactly what I was going for in the logo. And the older generation completely understood where you have to fill in your name. And it was really interesting getting all this feedback from the different age groups.
Yeah, it's probably because the younger generation is used to doing everything on their phone and they don't actually fill in blanks.
Yeah.
But no, it's super cute. And I love the story of how you came up with it.
Thank you.
And that was really smart that you approached women of all ages.
Yeah, that goes back to my marketing degree. That's like something I picked up from when I was in school. So I'm like, finally, I guess, use my degree in something.
Because
I was like, did I just waste all this time going to school for nothing?
This might be a hard question, but what was the hardest part of starting the business?
Okay, the hardest part, without a doubt, and it's not even the work itself. The hardest part is actually taking the plunge and going for your dream. Nobody talks about what goes through your mind right before you start your own business. Once I got the idea and did my research, I was paralyzed with fear. with all the startup stories I heard, listening to podcasts, when I was reading, everyone was talking about their struggle, their obstacles when they actually were in their business. But no one ever talked about their fear right before they started their business. No one talked about their fear of failing. So one day my mom notices how stressed I was and she goes, "Don't you think everyone who starts their own business is scared to fail? So what if you fail? Better you tried and you don't regret it." And then she goes, "But Nancy, what if you don't fail?" And then it was such an obvious statement. Mm-hmm. And when you're so focused on failing, you don't even think of the positive outcome. You're only thinking of the worst case scenario. So after that reality check, I'm like, what if I don't fail? What if on the other side of my fear is exactly what I wanted this whole entire time? The fear was brainwashing me to think that I didn't want this job anymore. Like, I didn't want to start my own business. I was so scared. So after that moment of clarity, I was thinking, on the other side of my fear is my dream. So after that, no matter what obstacle came, it didn't feel as scary or it didn't feel as hard. I still come across obstacles, of course, but I focus on the end game. I'm not going to allow the what if to control my destiny. I wasn't going to allow the fear of the worst happening get to me. I was going to have faith that the best was going to happen. I had this idea. I was going to make it come to life. If I failed in the end, at least I gave it my all. I mean, I still go through moments where I'm like, oh, can I do this? Can I do this? And I'm like, no. I have to talk myself down and I'm like, listen, you're so excited now. You're loving what you're doing. You know, climb over the fear. It's not that scary. So the idea of starting website kept coming back to me. It was always something I reverted to. So obviously it was important to me and obviously it's what I wanted, but I had to be strong enough and wise enough to separate my fear from ultimately what I wanted. And I actually do discuss this in one of my blogs and I titled it Screw You Fear. So go check it out. And it really goes through like my headspace at the time of the hardest moment of actually starting your own business. And I do think mostly anyone who starts something new is scared to fail at it. Because if it's that important to you, that's your main concern. Like, oh my God, it's so important to me, but you know, gosh, so that I fail. Like, I don't want to fail at it. I haven't heard anyone talk about that. And I wish somebody spoke about that when I was starting because I wouldn't feel like I was on my own. So don't be scared. Go for what you want.
Yeah, that's a really great message because I've always thought, I don't know, like I feel like mental health is such a huge thing.
I
mean, just personally
agree with
and
you.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a weird thing that I've realized, like people don't want to talk about, like nobody wants to admit that people are fine to say, oh, like I have a bad back or whatever, but nobody wants to talk about like I get nervous or I have fear. And it's just weird in that if everyone just talked about it, everyone would feel better. Like you're saying, it's like everyone just wants to pretend that they didn't go through any struggle. And if they just talked about it like you're doing on the blog, you're setting that up for other people to feel like they're not alone and not be scared because they know that, okay, this is normal and I'll get through it like you did.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're our own worst enemy. And like we cannot let our thoughts control our actions because, like I was saying, when I was looking for a job for a year and a half, I was so stressed out. I literally felt physically sick because I was mentally exhausting myself and putting so much pressure on myself. And I'm such a private individual, so I internalize everything. And it was taking such a toll on me. I was physically getting sick. And if I knew that, oh, okay, other people do sometimes have these same struggles, I would be like, oh, okay, I'm normal. I started doubting my intelligence because I was getting turned away for a job. And you really have to talk yourself out of it. If it's something you want, something that always comes back to you, you have to think, you know what, there's a reason for it. Let me go for it. Why am I scared? I'm scared because it means something to me.
Okay, now I'm going to switch to the other side. What is the most rewarding part of owning a boutique?
The most rewarding part, okay, the most rewarding part is actually coming from my website itself when people read my blogs and they send back comments on them. So when I released this blog, which goes back to me being a chicken, basically, I released this blog and it wasn't about fashion. It wasn't about beauty. It was about just advice that I got from someone. And it's called The Advice I Got from a Billionaire and It Wasn't Oprah. So I was so nervous to publish this blog. and like it took me an hour to convince myself, hit send. So once I did, everyone was reading it and everyone was commenting back on it. And they were saying, wow, I loved hearing what you had to say. I love that someone else had their ups and downs and they went through this. Like when I was reading, I felt so inspired. I actually went through a similar situation and I felt so damn good. I was like, wow, I made someone feel inspired by something I wrote. That's insane.
Yeah.
So that was definitely the highlight and I will never, never, never forget it. How much like all the positive messages I got from people. And it wasn't just like one or two people, like people were just like, it was an outpour of love and I felt so much support and I felt so glad that I actually overcame that fear of, you know, being so vulnerable in front of people. And it really worked out from my benefit as much as theirs, I guess. And also like rewarding, let's say, I'm not going to say, okay, being successful is a reward in itself. But it
right.
sort of is because you do get proud of yourself. You're like, wow, I just accomplished something myself. So when I get like a 5-star review on a product, like people comment me, I love my purchase. I'll definitely be purchasing from you again. I love it. Like I look forward to reviews. I definitely hold my breath when I see like, oh, you got a review. I'm like, oh, God, please be good. Please be good. Then I get a 5-star review and I'm like, yes, this is amazing. So people's feedback is great. Seeing people actually, when I've been to a house party and I saw close people wearing purchases they made for me, some random like people, and I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, how
so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess now would be a good time to kind of elaborate. I didn't really plan to ask you this, but, you know, obviously everyone who's listening needs to go check out erisblank.com if you haven't already. But do you want to just kind of tell them? I know I said it's clothing and accessories, but for people who don't know you, this is stuff that is really her style. And she's so fashionable and she always looks good, you know, like she said, put together. So just kind of tell everyone what kind of clothing you have and examples of the kind of style that it is.
Okay. For instance, when I go to purchase products for my site,
mm-hmm.
I love to purchase the clothing in person. My sister does live in California, so I do thankfully get to go out there a lot. So I like to go in person because I love to touch the fabric. If it's a disgusting fabric, I refuse to purchase it just because it's on trend. I want people, when they purchase from me, to feel comfortable, like I'm going to get a good quality product, even though I didn't pay these high prices. So anything that I would buy for myself, I buy from my site because I do want it to reflect off my style. Don't get me wrong. If something is like, oh, I love the trend, but I wouldn't wear it. Yeah, I'll still put it on my site because I love everyone's fashion sense. It's just not all about me, 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 me. But I want to make sure that it's a high quality product. And accessories are so fun because there's so many different things you can do with accessories. So I just purchase anything and everything cute that I see. And if I don't like the quality of the product, I won't post it. I don't care if I'll lose money on the product. I'd rather, you know, post something that people are going to like. The quality that they're going to get is good. So that's pretty much how I go about the buying process. So anything you get is going to be a good buy.
That's awesome. That's really nice to hear because, you know, some companies, like I love them and then I order one thing and I'm like, wait, this doesn't go with, like, I'm shocked that they would sell this because it's not 100%. Up to their standards of what they usually carry. So it can be deceiving.
I literally just had a situation where I'm like, okay, let me buy online. So I bought from a vendor online and I actually placed a big order. So I bought bodysuits, I bought dresses, and I got the shipment, and it was disgusting. Every product was cheap quality. The dresses were too thin. The bodysuits, they look like string held together by glue. I don't know. And I'm like, there's no way I'm selling this product. Like, I refuse to do that. I wouldn't wear it, so I don't expect anyone else to buy it. I couldn't do it.
Well, that's really good of you.
Thank you.
That's important. So next question is, was there anything that was very hard about running your own business or boutique that kind of surprised you, like it was surprisingly hard?
Yes. Do you know what's surprisingly hard is gaining a following and traffic to your website. I did not expect
it
to be this difficult. I know. Are you kidding me with this whole Instagram new algorithm thing going on? To get people to follow you is so difficult. and all these people who have a million followers, bravo to you. Congratulations. I don't know how you got there. And I'm going to have to assume it's way before they changed their whole system.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume they changed it just so, like, businesses could buy ads on there.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I've, it's funny. I have, like, a couple blogger groups that we, you know, we all talk and support each other. And that we were just talking about that this week, and that's kind of the conclusion we came to is that I don't know if you know about the shadow banning thing.
No.
So that's, like, I guess what they're doing now, and I don't know how recent this is. Obviously, businesses and bloggers and, you know, anyone, even just friends that I know that aren't really trying to gain a following, they use hashtags, right? So, say you'll post, like, a really cute bodysuit that you just got in, and you'll write hashtag bodysuit, hashtag fashion, like, whatever ones you want to include. Well,
yeah.
I guess what Instagram is now doing is they're calling it shadow banning certain hashtags so that any hashtag that's, like, getting too much traction or I'm not sure why they pick certain ones. Some of them is, like, if there's too many inappropriate pictures being posted along with that, like, I could see maybe I shouldn't be doing hashtag Miami because maybe there's a lot of inappropriate pictures. I don't know. Anyway, so it's, like, if you include a certain hashtag on your post, that post is, quote-unquote, shadow banned, and then it's not going to appear. Like, it's not going to be on people's feeds at the top. It's not going to get on the Explore page. If someone searches hashtag bodysuits, your picture won't appear there. And I don't know. We can't figure that out yet either, but that's kind of what we think. Again, like you said, they just want to
they definitely just want to sell you
influence.
Ads.
Yeah, and sell, make people actually pay.
I mean, yeah, which definitely I'm guilty of. Now I have no choice but to pay for my advertisements. But also,
yeah.
I'm a victim of being blocked on Instagram so much because, you know, like in a business.
Blocked by people?
No, on Instagram itself blocks me all the time.
Oh.
The funny thing is because you're trying to gain following, so you're trying to go after people that have similar interests in your business. I mean, if people aren't going to see your content, you kind of have to show them your content, correct?
Of course.
So you're trying to get people to be enticed by your pictures to come to your site. So obviously you try to follow some people. So I get blocked all the time by Instagram. So I'm like, okay, they're really trying to mess with me and my business now. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Wow.
And 95% of my business, like, the traffic on my site comes from Instagram. So if Instagram's blogging me, then I don't know. It's way more traction than Facebook.
Wow, that's crazy. And when did you launch the website?
Oh, I launched on February 1st of this year. So it hasn't been long at all.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, so we're still so small, and we plan to grow and add so much more inventory. But, you know, we're just trying to get familiar now with our clientele and what everybody loves. It just it takes, like, a good year to figure out your customer base.
Of course, yeah. And, I mean, now I didn't realize it was that young. So,
yes,
that means that, yeah, of course you have a lot of Instagram. Yeah, I mean, you would have not been on there before the whole drama began of this confusion and everything. But I don't know. I see more and more every day that even just normal people, it's like, for example, I don't know if you're a fan of The Bachelor, but...
No, I don't watch it.
So I'm big on that show, and I follow the guy that hosts it, for example. And so I'm scrolling my phone this morning, and it's like, tonight we're in Germany talking about last. And I see it's, like, something that was posted yesterday. Like, people don't want to see stuff that's old. They want it to be in real time. You know what I mean?
That's
so
exactly,
like,
what they're doing.
Everyone's
getting in sequential order. Yeah, and, I mean, who wants to see things not in order? I mean, I'm very OCD, so I want to see things correctly in order.
Yeah, and it's just so true. I get a lot of, like, my news, actually, just from social media. Like, I don't really watch the news. I found out I'm actually still very active on Twitter, and I find out all the news on Twitter, like, when stuff happens around the world and even in the country and on Instagram, too, sometimes. Like, you want to see things when they're happening, you know?
Right, and there's
That's
so
the
much
point
stuff
of social
going
media.
On. So fast on social media that you forget, like, oh, I'm following this person. Let me go check up on them. So if you're not seeing these people in sequential order, then there's a problem. Like, I was listening to this one podcast of this blogger, and she said that you basically only see content from 10 of your followers all the time, and it's close to impossible now to go viral anymore and to gain a big following because of the way Instagram has everything set up. So anyone who's new, good luck to you, and I'm like, great. Yeah, I'm like, of
it's
course
so true.
I come in around this time. Of course. Like another obstacle, but you know what? We'll handle it.
Yeah, so you guys that are listening, make sure you follow us on Instagram and make sure you, I think that you can like tap on the right and turn on
your
notifications.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we already mentioned your blog a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, what made you want to add a blog component, and do you find that it helped your sales at all, or is it just kind of unrelated and more, like you said, inspirational posts and personal stories and stuff like that, or do you find that shoppers read the blog and people that come to the blog go shop and it's kind of intertwined?
Okay, one of the best advice I got from people, and I got it from two different people, was if you're going to have a website, you need to have a blog. Because if they're not coming to your website to shop, they're going to see your article somewhere, and it's going to revert them back to your website. So you have to blog to get people's attention on your website. So the days I actually drop a blog, which I don't do it too often, I try to do it every 2 weeks, but sometimes not even, I do notice the traffic of my website goes up. So people go on there to read, and then they slowly start going into clothing or accessories or whatever. The inspirational stories came after because I just write. I don't think, oh, I want to write about this topic. Whatever I'm feeling that day, I write about. So those just came along depending on my mood. So
yeah.
I had no choice but to write the blogs because I, like I said, I'm super private, so I don't really like to share my thoughts. I mean, I love to tell people like, oh, I bought this from here, I bought this from here. But to go out and tell the world, it kind of makes me very nervous.
Okay, that's totally understandable. And blogging is such a good outlet.
You know, I love reading blogs,
that.
But writing them is another story.
Yeah,
love
well,
to
I
read
can
them.
Understand. It's different when you're talking about your thoughts, too, because it's just, it's easier for me to post, like, here's the top mascaras that's I'm not really revealing any of my soul to you.
And I really, actually, I do look at your blog because when you write things about things you've tried, and I'm like, oh, good, like, she's trying it. Let me see if she likes it or not. If she likes it, then I'll go buy it.
Yeah, I try to be honest, but...
Exactly. You have to be relatable and you have to be honest because if you're dishonest, no one's going to come back and read it because they'll be like, oh, my gosh, she's such a liar.
Well, it's so interesting because I know some people that I will look at their blog and I'm not trying to hate on anyone, but I just don't really personally want to visit it because I can tell it's all sponsored posts. Like everything that's on there, I can tell they were paid for it because it's so like, I mean, I actually don't really do anything sponsored yet really on my blog. Sometimes I'll get free product to try, which if I like it, I'll talk about it. If I don't, I won't. But sometimes
I'll
see people that it's such specific things that I'm like, okay, I know you didn't go buy that. It's such a random thing.
So
and everything is like so mismatched. Yeah, I'm like, well, I don't really value your opinion because, you know, this is your job. So
yes, that's my issue with celebrities. That's why I don't really, honestly, I don't follow too many celebrities on Instagram because they're just paid to post all these things. So I don't feel like they're authentic. They're not like genuinely into this product. So please leave me alone. Like I'm
it's
not
so crazy
you.
Too because obviously people are buying it from them or these companies wouldn't be paying them millions. But I'm like, who are these people that really think, okay, these A-list celebrities that have a glam squad every day, their hair doesn't look like that because they're taking a gummy bear.
Exactly.
Like, it's obviously a weave, so.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just buy because they just, I don't know, they have this, like, I want to be like a celebrity complex, maybe.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
The only thing I would buy if somebody sponsored, if I actually see them wearing an outfit and I'm like, oh, that's cute, maybe.
Yeah, I know, and that's one of the things that I wish they would say more. I even saw Khloe Kardashian was out for her birthday the other night, and her dress was gorgeous. Okay, obviously, I probably can't afford it, but I would like to know where that's from, at least, so I can go, like, stalk the website.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, what are some of your favorite fashion trends that are hot right now?
My favorite fashion trends right now, I'm mostly, like, into winter fashion. So summer, I'm always back and forth with summer.
Well, that's not good. You live in Florida.
I know. I'm a Jersey girl, so definitely love the winter clothes.
Okay.
But I don't get, like, once it gets, like, a little bit chilly, it's, like, 79, I'm like, ooh, my boots. I'm bringing out my boots.
Yeah.
It's, like, not even cold, and I'm the only one in Florida wearing boots. But for summer, I actually am loving that there's so much floral right now. Because I love floral prints, but nothing's too bold. I love, like, the soft florals, the blush tones.
Yeah.
And I'm so into also, like, the monotones, the nudes, the plain black, the grays. And because those you can mix and match, and you could put, like, so many different, like, kinds of accessories on them. You can go from, like, day to night. It's just, I love, like, the simple tones. And
yeah,
I love, love, love right now is the satin cami dresses because the material is so lightweight. And Florida's so humid. It's so hot that, to be honest, you don't want to feel like you're wearing that much on you. So
yeah.
You slip one of those on. You can wear them with flip-flops. You can wear them with wedges. And in the wintertime, you can put on a pair of boots and a jacket with them, and you're going to look super cute. You're not dying of heat because of your clothing. And they just look great.
It's so funny. I actually ordered one of those, and it's supposed to come tomorrow, and I haven't tried one on before, so I'm hoping it's cute.
Yeah, we sell one, actually. It's, like, in a rust color, but it has, like, a little lining in it, which
oh,
I love.
Pretty.
So you don't see every nook and cranny. Because I know with those satin dresses, like, they show so much of, like, your body. Like,
yeah.
And they make me so self-conscious. But with mine, there's actual lining in there. So I felt really good about it. I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll sell this.
Yeah, that's super important.
Yes.
Okay, and then is there any trends on the flip side that you are, like, not a fan of and you wish they would just go out of style?
Oh, yes. There's a lot. But the main two, actually, I hate the track pants with the heels and the body.
Oh, my God. It's so,
like,
bad.
Please stop with that. Like, I think Kim Kardashian threw it out there and see if it took, and people actually started
right.
wearing it.
But it's like, you're not her. Like, you're not dating Kanye, and you're not, like, living your life on the stage. So what are you doing?
Yeah. And it didn't look good. I'm sorry. The bodysuit looks sexy. The heels are sexy. But put it on with a pair of jeans or something.
Yeah, it looks weird.
Jeans are not flattering. They are meant to be for the gym and maybe a Netflix evening.
Right.
But definitely not worn with heels, and definitely not worn with a sexy bodysuit. Please go. Don't ever wear them. Don't do it.
Sounds dangerous, actually, to have those, like, baggy pant legs near your heels.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. And already we're trying to balance for our life on these things, and then you add these baggy track pants. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And my final one, because I can go on forever, is thank God I don't feel like people are actually doing it. So I'm so glad it didn't really stick. And it also comes from that group, the Kardashian-Jenners. Wearing the corset over your dresses, please, please, people, don't go there. Don't do it. It's not cute.
Yeah,
it's
that
not
thing
cute.
That kind of looks like a giant, like a wrestling belt look, right?
Yeah, like keep that at home. Maybe you can do that at home, walk around, look at yourself in the mirror, take a few selfies, but don't do it in public.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they come up with this stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like a difference between runway fashion. Like, I could see something like that being in a fashion show, but it's one of those things
that's
more for, like, inspiration, not, like, real
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely not a real life fashion trend. Those two gotta go.
Okay, so I'm going to skip to a question that's right on point for right now is, mm-hmm. do you have any celebrities that you really, really like their style?
You know what? I've always stuck with this one celebrity, and it's Blake Lively.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her fashion sense, her clothing and everything in Gossip Girl, and since then, I just loved her fashion sense, whether it's in shows, whether it's in real life, even, I don't know, she has this movie like something Adeline, and even her old day style, I'm like, oh my God, I just love everything she wears in the movies and shows. It's just like she's so classic, she's so trendy, she doesn't try too hard, she always looks nice, and I hear that she styles herself.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, also, her style is very similar to mine, so I could definitely relate to her. Even in Gossip Girl, like, she was super trendy sometimes, and I'm like, you know what? She's like, it's so me. So I've identified with her a lot. But I also really like, and it's not necessarily a celebrity, but it's a celebrity stylist. I love how Monica Rose styles people. She doesn't. She used to do some of, I think she used to do, like, Kendall Jenner, Gigi Hadid, and Bella, and I think Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure who else she did, but anytime I would see a picture and I'm like, oh my God, I love how they're dressed. And I used to look at the stylist, it was always her.
Yeah,
so I've
definitely
love. I definitely love the way she styles people. So those are definitely my top two. I mean, there's celebrities here and there where I'm like, oh my God, they look amazing today. Like J-Lo, I love most of the things she wears.
Ooh, that's my girl.
Yeah, she looks great all the time. But the most relatable to me, I would have to say, is Blake Lively, and I feel like she always looks great.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Okay, so do you have any fashion advice that you want to give to the people that are listening?
I would say to have a go-to piece in your closet for the days you're totally feeling lazy, the days you don't want to think of a top and bottom, the days you don't want to think of an outfit where you're like, oh my God, I don't have anything to wear. I have a black halter dress. We actually sell it on our site. And anytime I'm feeling super lazy, I'm like, oh, I'll just wear that. I sometimes wear it with flip-flops to the grocery store. I put it on wedges. I put on heels with it. I'm like, in the wintertime, I'll put on a jacket and boots. It's just that one dress that will look good for any occasion, and I don't have to think about it. It could be sexy because it has a low back, and it's flowy, it's lightweight. So I think everyone should just have that go-to piece item that you could dress up and down. So if you're ever feeling like you're not in the mood to pick out your wardrobe that day.
Which is like a lot of women every day.
Which is 99.9% of the day, not the days. Yeah, I'm always wearing that black dress. You see me? There she is.
I'll have to look for it. I'll be like, oh, she must have had an off day. She didn't feel like choosing.
She has an off day every day. And also, I love denim jackets. So I always leave one in my car because I get cold really easily. And Florida, like, okay, you're hot outside, but inside the air conditioning is blaring. So I love the jeans jacket. I wore it over everything. Like, you'll see me in, like, a cute cocktail dress, and I'll just be like, okay, here's my jeans jacket over my shoulders.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good thing to have is a good denim jacket, but nothing baggy. Something kind of not form-fitting, but a nice tailored fit.
Yeah, that's important.
My last advice is actually pretty much for the younger girls. I would say be age appropriate because I feel like there's so many younger girls now that are trying so hard with all the sexy fashion that's going on.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's like I look at these girls and I'm like, oh, how old is she? Is she my age? And they're like 14, 15 years old.
Yes.
I'm like, why are you in such a hurry to grow up? Stay true to your age. You have all the time in the world to grow up. Dress for your age. Believe me, you'll be in style. You're on point with your outfit. You don't have to dress super sexy right now just because Kylie Jenner decided to dress super sexy.
Yeah, so, it's crazy. There's like a meme that was going around. I don't know if you saw it, but it was like me in sixth grade, and it shows, you know, like I would have looked like with braces and bike shorts or whatever.
Oh, my God. That was
like a 16-year-old now, and yeah, they're basically Kylie Jenner, and it's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like,
but
they're
you
wearing
need an
booty shorts. Yeah. You don't want to attract this negative attention to yourself, so definitely there's a fine line for any age between sexy and trashy, so stick to the sexy side. Don't overstep to the trashy side. I mean, you don't want that unwanted attention.
Yeah.
So I would say
everyone
definitely
else is doing it doesn't mean that people
just
respect
because,
them for
exactly.
It.
Which goes along with my last advice is just because it's in fashion doesn't mean it works for everyone. So pick and choose the trends that will work for you. For instance, I love rompers, but they look horrible on me. I don't know why rompers don't look good on me. So I'm not going to kick and scream and start wearing rompers just because they're in style. I'm like, okay, I put that to the side. I'm like, okay, this doesn't work for me. So pick and choose what works for you. Not every fashion trend is going to work for you. So do what's right for you. Stay true to yourself. That's it.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
Thank you.
I think all of the readers / listeners, I never know what to call them now, should definitely take heed of that. Okay, now I'm just going to ask a couple questions that were actually asked by some of my followers. So Jordan asked, I think this is particularly for like online boutiques or online shopping, but you can tell us in specific for your website. Mm-hmm. What's the best time to shop for deals? She was wondering, is the typical like holiday sales, like Black Friday and whatever, are those the best times? Or is there maybe like seasonal secrets or stuff we don't really know about, like inventory turnover and whatever?
Okay, what I've noticed is that holiday sales are not even any better than any other sale anymore. So, for instance, let's say a site goes on sale 30% off their entire store on Cyber Monday. But people do that all the time. You might not even realize that somebody's dropping a sale. So my best advice is for all your favorite stores, go sign up for their newsletter. Because if they have a flash sale, for instance, me, I could wake up that day and be like, you know what? I want to put my whole site on sale. I'll do it that day. I'm not going to sit and think like, oh, okay, I'm going to wait for a holiday to do it. I'm just going to randomly shoot an email to all my people who are registered to my newsletter and let them know, hey, here's the code. My whole site's 20% off today. So my best advice is don't just wait for the end of season sales. Don't wait for the Cyber Mondays. Sign up for whatever store you like, any website you like. Sign up for their newsletter because they will let you know. Believe me, they'll let you know because they want you to shop.
Yeah.
They'll let you know when they have any promotion, any sales going on, any new arrivals, anything. So stay connected with them.
I think that's true. Just to add on a little, I think part of the downfall of those big holidays is it became such a trend. It was almost like you knew on Black Friday you were going to drop some cash.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the mindset of I'm going to spend money. And so you see, like, I see this with a lot of beauty brands. Black Friday sale, 20% off, and you think, it's Black Friday, I'm blowing all the money. But you're right. Like, I just got an email from Too Faced the other day that said 25% off the whole website. I'm pretty sure that's the same thing they do for Black Friday. So I think sometimes the holidays, you think in your mind, like, it's sale time, I'm spending, so you don't pay that much attention to what the sale actually is.
Exactly. They manipulate us to believe, like, oh, okay, Black Friday must be such a great sale. No, it's pretty much the sale they'll give you in a month from now.
Yeah, because, you know, even though it's Black Friday, they might really not be in the timing where they really care to move a lot. Maybe with some things like clothing, it could be out of season, or like makeup has expiry dates. So, you know, some things, I think they might just, like you said, a random day, it'd be like, you know what? We need to sell all these because guess what? We're repackaging and we're bringing in a new inventory. So we want to get rid of these so they're on sale. And it's stuff that as consumers, you wouldn't think about. So yeah, that's good advice. And I pretty much do what you said. I sign up for a ton of newsletters and yeah, I mean, that's honestly how I hear about all the best deals. And you guys will see me, like, if you follow my Snapchat. And also, I've started to try to do it on my Instagram story, too, because, to be honest, I'm a way bigger Snapchatter. But I'll screenshot. Anytime I get an email with, like, a really good sale, I'll screenshot it and I'll post it on there because, you know, I figure that probably not everyone else is subscribed. But if they knew about the sale, they'd be interested. So.
And, you know, I did not know makeup has expiration date. Where was I living under?
Well,
what rug was I living under?
I don't think it's, like, a printed date on it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know
but
when they get
sense.
A batch
I
of
totally,
them.
I could see that.
You can just Google, like, makeup expiries, and it will tell you some things that don't have it printed, like how long you should have them. But a lot of creams and, like, skincare stuff, if you look, there's a little logo that usually looks kind of like a jar with the lid off, and it will say a number, and that's how many months you're supposed to keep it. So, like, if you open this eye cream and it says 6 months, after 6 months, supposedly it's expired. Now, I mean,
yeah,
I don't always follow
sense,
them,
actually.
But... just you never know with stuff like why people want to move it. Like I remember Urban Decay put all their setting spray, it's like one of their best-selling products. They had it all on half price. And I mean, I didn't really ask questions. I just bought a lot of them. But then we found out like a couple weeks later they were redoing the packaging. So, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely all about
holidays,
the newsletter.
Yeah.
I mean, some people oversaturate you. I don't. I don't even send an email every day, only when I have something to say. So, yeah, definitely sign up for ours. We'll let you know when we have a sale. Sometimes they do a flash sale on just a particular item, and I'm like, oh, this item's like 40% off just from 1 to 2. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, sign up.
That's fun. And that's why you need to turn on your post notifications on Instagram, too, so that when
yes.
there's time-sensitive things, you won't miss it because you might not
exactly.
see it for, like, a week if not.
I know, right?
Okay, and then the last question is from Anna. She wanted to know, why should people buy from boutiques and small businesses instead of the bigger chain stores?
You know what? That's in any business. You just really have to support any mom and pop business. These big chain stores are already getting business from so many people. Everyone wants a chance to build their own empire. So I love to buy from a random coffee shop. I love to get to know these owners. These chain stores are so, like, everything's the same. So why not try something different? Why not, like, come to my site instead of going on to, like, Macy's? Because we offer something different. Everybody has a different personality. And with these chain stores, they all pretty much have the same personality. So it's best to, you know, try new things, help other businesses grow. Because think about it. Maybe one day that you want to start your own business, but you have Amazon, which is killing everybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't start it because of Amazon. So you really need to give other people a chance as well. And you never know. You might be pleasantly surprised. I mean, the most things that I love are not from big franchises or chains.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying before, obviously somewhere like Forever 21, you know how many, like, hundreds of thousands of SKUs they have? You are physically looking at each item. Like you said, you're touching the fabric. They just go on wherever they get it and click. So when it's a smaller business, normally you can assume that they're putting greater care into selecting their product.
I mean, not to knock off this company because they're doing great and they just started not that long ago, but I don't know if you know Fashion Nova.
I don't know if I've actually gone to their site, but yes.
Yeah, they're like, they blew up. They're kind of like, I would say, a Windsor. I guess they have a lot of stores now on the West Coast. So I was with them in one of, like, I guess they don't really like to divulge any information because I kind of, like, overheard them say where they're from. And when I was picking out clothes for my site, I was there for, like, you know, battling myself, like, oh, is this nice? Is this nice enough? And they're just, like, randomly picking, and they're just throwing anything and everything on the racks. And I'm like, wow, like,
oh,
must
wow.
be nice. Must be nice to not have to think so much. But, yeah, they're, like, with me, like, I sit there and I really think and I visualize how people are going to wear them. So, I mean, props to them, but. Yeah, it's definitely like that. Like, for instance, Forever 21, you're not going to sit and get somebody who's sitting there and thinking over your products for an hour at a time.
Right. And, I mean, the good thing you have going for you, if Instagram ever lets you shine, is that...
yeah, they're holding us back. Are you kidding?
I mean, Forever 21, like, how many employees do they have? I guarantee you I'm not going to agree with all of their fashion sense, but you have the advantage where, I mean, personally, I think you have amazing fashion, but, like, if you're someone who thinks that you love everything Nancy wears and how she looks, then you pretty much are guaranteed to be happy with the products that she picks. You know the person that's picking them and you know their style, whereas the big company, you don't know who's picking it. It could even be like an old man, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It might not even be someone that's at all like you.
And I think those companies are run by older men.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to tell us if there's anything that you're kind of planning or looking into to expand for the future with the website or blog or anything?
Yeah, actually, I'm so excited about our future. I mean, I'm definitely that person that wants everything now, 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 but I learned that I have to just write things down on a list and then go with the process. So right now, as you can see, like, we have a nice selection of clothing, but I want to eventually completely expand and add way more clothing and add men's line, hopefully one day. I mean, I have a guy friend who's like, I hate shopping for myself. Can you please just add a men's line already? And he always, always, always tells me that. And I'm like, oh, that would be the dream. So I'm hoping to expand into a men's line eventually. And
very cool.
Before a men's line, I would like to go into and do maybe like a little niche where I can do like accessories for young girls and maybe some cute onesies. So hopefully in the near future, we can do the little men's line, and then way in the future, do a men's line. That's what we're hoping for. Right now, we're small, you know. We're always adding to our website, so we're growing. So sign up for our newsletter and grow with us.
Yeah, and you guys, I mean, I'll let Nancy tell you everywhere you can follow her on social media and the website, but it's all linked right here under this interview, so you can click down below and it'll take you to her website where you can sign up for the newsletter, and then I'm going to have her tell you now what her social media sites are, and they're all linked below too.
Yeah, right now we're on Facebook. We do not have a Snapchat, but we do have an Instagram, and we're very, very active on our Instagram more so than our Facebook, so definitely follow us on Instagram, and especially sign up for our newsletter. You'll be the first to know about new arrivals, any new blog posts we post, any sales, anything like a flash sale, anything pretty much that you need to know, we're going to tell you there, better than following us on any social media. But
okay.
Yeah, log on to www.erisblank.com. You can read our blogs on there and pretty much just shop till you drop.
And you guys, they have free shipping on all the orders if you're in the U.S., which you probably are. So definitely go browse and shop because it's easier than going to a store and it ships for free.
Yeah, we ship for free, no matter the cost.
Besides Target, okay, I actually live like so close to the mall, I could walk to it in like 10 minutes. And I haven't been in there in probably like 4 years.
Oh, wow. I know. I don't go that much either. And I still love going to the mall, but I don't know. I've become such an introvert. I'd rather just like online shop.
Yeah.
And everything's right there. I try to be a little descriptive. Like if something's pictured and the color is a little brighter in the picture, I'll be like, it's not as bright, or the color is a little bit darker in life. So I try to be as honest as possible because, of course, you want to avoid people returning the product. You want people, when they get the product, they know what to expect. So with
yeah.
us, that's what I'm hoping for. Just when you get it, you know you're going to get exactly what you wanted.
Well, yeah, everyone, so click down below, go follow Nancy's company, Eris Blank, on all the social media, and most importantly, sign up for their newsletter, and that about wraps it up, so thank you so much for doing this interview. I actually really learned a lot. Yeah, it was tons of fun.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Nice to hear. See, another rewarding part of the job.
Yeah, no, for real. Well, I will definitely keep it in mind because I'm loving doing these interviews. And to be honest, this is something that I'm finding that I like, not that this is a podcast, but kind of doing the same type of thing. It's fun to me. So, you know, maybe
yeah, you're really good at
we can
it.
Do something else. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love it. If you want me back, I'll come back.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, girl.
All right, thank you.